to seize the Aussie and turn on these Denorians. But the old heart forger was still somewhere in the city, and Inessa continued to insist on diplomacy despite everything.
There is little to be learned about Kaelin's would-be assassin,
Shadi spoke up.
His name was Li Huang, and he was a loner. What is strange is that he joined the army voluntarily, instead of waiting to be conscripted, like most.
Did he have a family? I asked quietly.
Children?
Zoya and Shadi glanced at each other.
No family or friends,
the latter said gently.
It's not your fault, Tia.
I killed him. Of course it is.
You told me he wasn't under any compulsion, Zoya chimed in. The chances that he was in league with one of the Faceless is likely. This isn't a man who was being forced to act against his will.
What about the other man? The one I killed when I destroyed the Seeking Stone on him. Did he have family?
Tia.
Did he have a family?
A wife and a son.
I bowed my head. We had gathered in Khalid's room, with Princess Inessa and Lick conspicuously absent. As the guest of honor, the Kion princess was preparing for her engagement party that night, convincing the court concubines that she needed only Lick to help her dress. Shadi and Kaelin had combed through the palace, hunting for any more seeking stones in the vicinity, and came up with nothing. Some of the dead soldiers' blood had gotten under my fingernails. I rubbed my hands frantically against the sleeve of my hua, but try as I might, I could not rid myself of it.
Are you okay?
Fox asked me quietly. I'm fine.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
I think we should talk about it.
There is nothing to talk about.
Tia.
There isn't.
What about the Shaoyun boy?
Shadi asked.
The missing suitor. Any word of him?
Zoya shook her head.
They've questioned his family. They haven't heard from him in more than a year, but they also say that's not unusual. He travels frequently and spends most of his time in the cities.
That makes our jobs harder. I hope the old forge is okay. Bao Yi hasn't found any reason to think he's injured or worse, but it's hard to be sure when we can't find him ourselves.
Inessa's finally convinced the Emperor to let us visit the city tomorrow, at least. Now that we know there are faceless agents inside Denoris, let's err on the side of caution. Lick says he might know how to remove the wards.
Everyone turned to Lick, who had just entered the room.
It's only a theory,
he mumbled, blushing.
Any theory's worth discussing at this point,
Khalid said, encouraging him.
Well,
Lick began shyly.
The main problem is that there's not a separate ward in each room. It's one large ward woven throughout the castle, so I can't undo one part of it. But without access to any runes, I don't see how I can—
And that's why I'm brilliant,
Zoya said with a grin, fishing out the seeking stone she'd taken during the Savol fight.
The unraveling rune doesn't need as much effort to channel. We can probably muster enough magic with this to destroy the wards, as long as we focus on the one spot that will undo the whole spell.
I can start this instant, Lick babbled, jumping to his feet. It might take a few days to figure out the weakest point, so the sooner I begin, the better.
Don't dismantle anything until we find the forger, Zoya cautioned. They might stage some new devilry if they knew what we're doing. Khalid, go with Lick.
Why?
Khalid asked.
Why?
Lick echoed.
The forger's good at untangling complicated spells,
Zoya told them brightly.
He'd be a big help. Get on with it already.
Zoya, Shadi remonstrated. The Asha shot her an innocent look.
Usij isn't at the heights on mountains, then,
Kaelin said suddenly after a beet-red Lick let a slightly confused Khalid out.
Everything points to him being in Santiang. I killed my first man when I was 15,
Fox continued doggedly.
I threw up for an hour afterward. I know how you feel, but you can't let it take over you.
Leave me alone.
Tia, I'm only trying to help.
Well, you're not.
Startled faces look back at me.
Tia?
Zoya asked. Flushing, I scrambled to my feet. I have to get ready for the party, I mumbled, avoiding my brother's gaze. I'm going ahead. I hurried out before anyone could stop me. The long walk back to my room felt like it took forever, and my legs gave out the instant I reached my bed. I threw myself onto the covers and spent half an hour weeping furiously. I'd never killed anyone before. Perhaps it was foolish of me to think I never would. Even worse, I knew I would do it all over again. I felt revulsion. I felt sick. But I felt no remorse. Not even for the poor soldier with the wife and son. With the assassin, all I could remember in those moments leading up to the kill was anger. Fear that he would kill Kaelin. And a curious sense of satisfaction. Am I a bad person? I hadn't expected Fox to answer, given how I'd left him. But his words came quickly, wrapping around me like a warm cloak.
You worry too much about being a good person to be a bad one.
I killed someone.
So did I. Many times. Does that make me a bad person?
Of course not.
I can't say that it gets easier, Tia. We may hold the sword, but it's circumstance that deals the killing blow.
He sighed.
I don't know how to make this easier for you, love. That's always been the problem. It never gets easier. But taking a life is not supposed to be easy. And you are a good person. I never had any doubts about that.
Thank you. I smiled into the darkness. The weight off my shoulders for the moment. Still, I looked down at my heart's glass, half expecting to see the beginnings of black there, as Aina promised it would. But all I saw was silver. Kion royal parties and balls were extravagant affairs, but the Denorians put those memories to shame. I do not know how much time was spent to finance this ball, but I was certain it surpassed the annual budgets of other smaller fiefs. Fireworks dotted the sky with explosions of color and light, and the resulting smell of gunpowder was an odd contrast to the scents of incense, roses, and perfume hanging heavily in the air. Ice sculptures taller than I was depicted scenes from Denoris's past. The successful war against Trisea, the first emperor of Denoris, Golgoloth, leading his soldiers into battle. His marriage to the beautiful Phimae. Some of the sculptures were not as historically accurate. One ice scene had the great hero Anahita the Mighty riding the skies on the Ozzy, and the Denoris's subsequent battles against Estera had not been as triumphant as these scenes made them out to be. Five long tables were piled high with food, most of them delicacies I was not familiar with. Roasted crackling pork belly, dumplings surrounded by soft, silken curds made of soy milk, spicy noodles in red and green pepper sauces, and braised white chicken in ginger oyster dressing. I parked myself in front of the banquet table and helped myself. Morose as I was, I did love food. Not for the first time that night, I wished Fox were there to make amends with, though no doubt he thought I needed more time to myself. The language barrier made it difficult to initiate conversation with the Denoris, but a few of the noblemen persevered. Word had spread about the fight with the Savul. Since the Ozzy was venerated by the people of the kingdom, I soon attracted, much to my horror, a throng of male admirers clamoring for a dance. Asha are trained to be more than fighters. We are entertainers, conversationalists, listening companions. Not wanting to cause a scene, I accepted the men's invitations, trying to inject as much cheer as I could with the little Denorian that I knew. Already I'd seen Shadi and Zoya, each with their own bevy of admirers. Much to my amusement, it was Lick who attracted the most number of men, and the terrified expression on his face only spurred them on. Kalad approached the group surrounding the male Asha, oblivious to the dark stares thrown his way. The boy's face lit up when he saw the forger approach, and wilted somewhat when the latter began to talk.
A few seconds later, and Lick was excusing himself from his admirers, glancing wistfully at the dance floor and then ruefully back at Khalid as they left together. For someone whose job was to examine a heart's glass, I thought, Khalid was woefully inept when it came to reading Lick's.
"Pet, Ozzy?"
my dance partner asked. My seventh for the night. Every suitor I'd danced with had asked a variation of the same question, and it was becoming harder not to force my smile. I had racked my brain for the Denorian equivalent of equal earlier on, but had given up. Yes, I lied, for the seventh time that night. Pet, Ozzy. There was the sound of drums, and all heads turned to look at Emperor Shifang at the doorway with Princess Anessa on his arm. The Qian noblewoman was stunning, decked in gold and silver from head to toe. Handmade embroidery trimmed the edges of her dress. There was a hush over the onlookers as their ruler led his betrothed to the ornate thrones, and then the sound of knees falling to the ground as everyone prostrated toward him and their future empress. Once seated, Emperor Shifang called out a command, and the dancing resumed. All too quickly, I was whisked away again by another Denorian waiting his turn.
"Beautiful," my partner breathed. "Stay in Denoris longer?"
He rattled off a string of words I didn't know, going on and on until finally ending with a question and looking back at me hopefully.
"Pardon me?"
I managed, not entirely sure what I was answering or if a guesswork yes would bring me more trouble than a no.
"Mind if I cut in?"
A voice to my right interrupted. My suitor wasn't as fluent in the common tongue, however, and Kaelin had to repeat it. This time in Denorian, adding in a few other words I couldn't understand. The boy visibly gulped, cast a fearful glance at the tall Death Seeker, and stepped aside.
"Lick and Khalid are off to map the rest of the palace wards,"
Kaelin advised me.
"Zoya thinks Lick can use the Seeking Stone to overcome the ward's restrictions and channel enough magic to untangle the threads all on his own."
"How long will it take them?"
"Most of the night, according to Lick. Zoya told me to come here and tell you in case anything else happens."
He started to step away, but I grabbed his arms and guided him across the floor, taking note of several women eyeing the Death Seeker. Lodellian nobles were oblivious by nature, I decided. "And here I thought you just wanted to dance with me."
"I can't dance."
But he didn't pull away, and we moved slowly to the music while the people around us spun. "I thought you could do anything."
"Do you want me to learn?"
I looked up. He was staring at me again in that strange, exhilarating way he had in the woods by Lake Call. I faltered and mumbled in his boots. "Not if you don't want to." We danced for a few minutes without saying anything. A Denorian woman worked up the nerve to approach us but backed away when I glared at her.
"Angry about something?"
"You do know there are women itching to kill me right now, right?" His grip tightened.
"Did someone compel the people in the palace? The wards are still in place."
I sighed. "That's not what I meant. Never mind." His breath tickled my ear, sending goosebumps along my skin.
"Want to talk about the Han Jian instead?"
"Han Jian?"
"Traitor. The Emperor decreed that the man who tried to kill me be labeled as such. It's the lowest form of insult among the Denorian army, apparently. If you don't want to talk about him, how about the other soldier who died then?"
"You sound exactly like Fox."
"We're very similar in a lot of ways."
"I don't think you've ever forced a guy to kill himself," I said bitterly.
"There isn't much difference between forcing him to and running him through yourself. You were looking out for me."
"I'm no longer certain you're worth the effort." I wanted to rile him up, but that only made him laugh. A familiar song began. Shadi and Zoya were dancing the Fox and the Hare, popular among the kingdoms and a common repertoire in Asha performances. Even the crowd, unused to our style of dance, fell silent as they watched the couple sway to the music, flowing to the rhythm with little effort, gliding from one intricate movement to the next.
"Don't make it a habit of shutting people out," Kaelin said quietly as everyone else watched.
Your brother cares for you. You shouldn't make him worry.
I know. I'll find him later and apologize.
The first time I killed someone, I was 13. She was a Trisane soldier.
I gasped. She?
There are a lot of women soldiers in Trisea. They fought as well as any man I've ever met. This one was a deserter. Part of a roving band of thieves and pirates who'd managed to sail into Odalian waters, robbing and setting fire to our merchant ships. I didn't know until much later that she hadn't taken part in the raids we'd been tracking. The ship she'd previously been on had floundered, and they picked her up only the day before. She felt honor-bound to fight with them, I suppose. But I still cried myself to sleep for 2 nights running.
Cry? You? Kaelin had always seemed made of stone. Emotions of any extreme seemed out of place on him.
I wasn't always a bastard.
That made me giggle. That's hard to remember.
You're holding up much better than I did.
I sobered. I don't feel guilty. I feel bad that I had to kill both of them, but I also feel bad about not feeling worse about it, as I know I should. What does that make me?
That means you have more of a fighter's temperament than I do.
I snorted. Nobody's more of a fighter than you. You're the bravest, strongest, most amazing man I've ever... I stopped. So did he. I mean, you're all right. I finished feebly, wanting desperately to kick myself.
Tia.
I froze. Kaelin was looking down at me with a vulnerability I never thought possible with him.
I think I'm going to take you up on that offer again.
He drew nearer, and I wondered, in some part of my brain that was still functioning, how I must have looked to him. Did I look shocked? Nervous? Eager?
Don't move, he whispered.
No two words had ever been so hard to obey. His mouth hovered a few inches from mine, and I overcame the desire to close the distance. But he stopped, and I wondered if I'd misinterpreted his intentions again. But his eyes were fierce and hungry and desiring and a million other emotions all at once, and I could not look away. He kissed me. In full view of the nobles, in full view of the Emperor and anyone who wanted to see, his mouth hot against mine. He tasted like everything I wanted, and he kissed like I could reach into his heart and take everything I desired from it. I was inexperienced at this, too young in Knight's Cross and too busy in Ankyo. The little time in between spent daydreaming about an infatuation that paled when compared with the reality that was Kaelin. But I kissed him back like I wished I could do better. Like I could do better if it was always with him. The fox and the hare ended. Shadi and Zoya curtsied, their fingers linking together as their captivated audience broke into applause. Kaelin stepped back. His face was expressionless, but he was breathing harder than he had during our sparring sessions, as if realizing he'd gone too far, too fast. With nothing to show but the truth of a kiss still hanging in the air between us. His heart's glass gleamed a combination of brilliant silver and warm apple red.
I promised Zoya I'd make a few more rounds tonight. I'll see you tomorrow, Tia.
I watched him walk away. Shoddy and the Emperor's curious eyes on me, the only barrier stopping me from pursuing him. It was not quite a faux pas, the kiss. But Mistress Parmina would have frowned on it all the same. I took a deep breath, trying in vain to quell the happy, nervous butterfly sprouting in my stomach, and turned back toward the throne. And stopped. Inessa's seat was empty. I followed Fox's thoughts and found her with him, away from the crowd. They swayed noiselessly on the veranda, dancing without the need for music. Inessa's head was against my brother's chest, her eyes closed and a small smile on her face. Fox looked down at her, his own expression unreadable.
I wanted to leave. But instead I parked myself between them and the rest of the guests, ready to sound the alarm if anyone headed their way.
Your Majesty,
Fox said quietly, formally.
We can't stay here for much longer.
I don't want to leave.
Your Majesty.
Are we on formal terms again, Sir Fox?
Inessa let go. Her hand gripped at the neckline of her dress.
It's your engagement.
Fox's tone was wooden.
Stop tugging at your collar. You'll ruin your dress.
You've done that enough times before. Inessa pulled harder in response. Fox's hand folded over hers.
Princess Inessa!
I heard Tan Sung trill from somewhere nearby, and her arm jerked up. Something small and sparkling flew through the air, landing in a metallic clink as it hit the floor. The princess staggered back.
I'm going, she mumbled.
Inessa, what?
Keep it!
The words rushed out with a heartbroken sound, and Inessa fled. Fox knelt. With shaking hands, he picked up the small pin Inessa had left behind. A silhouette of a fox dotted with tiny crystals.
Princess Inessa and Lord Fox were silent when she finished. Lord Kaelin had stepped out to oversee the rest of the Denorian soldiers, and Kalad had resumed his toil at his forge, bent studiously over his task.
Princess Inessa has been good to you, Fox, the dark Asha murmured to ease the tension. You look like a soldier for once, a royal uniform now, instead of the threadbare shirts and breeches you're so fond of.
I didn't realize you'd seen us at the party, the princess whispered, her cheeks coloring. It was none of my business.
But your leaving was my business, and you knew it. The dark Asha's brother's face gave away no emotion. You raised monsters and invaded a kingdom, and now you fight against Inessa's own people. Still my business, all of it. Her head dropped, avoiding his gaze.
I had no choice.
No choice? His voice was flat, but his words were cutting. You had a choice, but you left and gave me none. You blocked your thoughts from mine, and still I sat and waited for months, because I was a fool and thought I knew you better. Do not stand here and tell me you had no choice when it was you who gave me nothing to choose between.
Because you didn't believe me,
she fought back, her words coming out in quivers and hitches. The elders said,
The elders said, the Asha shouted. The elders said exactly that. They are lying cowards, and yet you heeded their words over mine.
I saw you, Tia. His cold facade shifted, and my heart twisted at how broken the man now sounded. I saw you kill her. She trembled.
I didn't. I couldn't.
And you don't believe me either. You don't trust me, Tia. Because even as I stand here, you still have the veiling rune in place between us. Inessa and I shouldn't be here, Kalad said softly.
No, the time for secrets is over.
The Bone Witch's hands curled, held at the ready, fearful of the next fight. She closed her eyes briefly, relaxed. Some magic I could not see thrummed between them, dissipated. Lord Fox started in surprise.
It is gone.
A queer sob, all the more strange and sad because it came from her.
I don't know. I don't remember. All I remember is the screaming, and even then I don't recall if it was mine or hers. Some nights I wake up and scream still because I can see the blood on my hands. It never goes away, even with all the soap and the scrubbing. Hers is the only death you can lay at my door. If I killed her, then I will pay for that soon enough. But I killed no one else. No matter what they tell you, I swear on Kaelin's grave, Fox. I told you nothing because you hated me then, didn't trust me, and because if you knew, they would cast you out as well. Do not deny that. I understand. For the longest time, I hated myself. You can hate someone and still wait for them, but I didn't want you to wait. I left because it meant I would live, that you would live. But even that is not enough. I cannot give you half a life, Fox. Neither you or Inessa deserve that. So I took the Deva and made my plans without you, because I knew you would stop me. I swear on Kaelin's grave. I swear.
The man watched her with eyes so like her own. It was as if he could delve into her soul with one look and discern her lies from her truths. "And what are those plans?" he asked quietly.
"I do not want a fight with either Odalia or Kion. My war is with the Elders and with Dricht. I will remain in Denoris a few days more, and I will leave the city unscathed. As a sign of good faith, I will do nothing against the other Asha. When I am done with King Adil, they will no longer matter. Command your armies to return home, Inessa. They give the dead nothing but stomach aches."
"Come back with us, Tia," the man insisted. "We can talk to Empress Alex. Mikaela will understand."
"Empress Alex and Lady Mikaela do not make up the whole of Kion, Fox. Not anymore. They will put me on trial for my crimes, and I will be publicly executed for the world to see. I have gone too far, Fox. There will be no other judgment, no matter what Mikaela or Zoya or anyone else claims."
Beside him, Inessa froze, her fear thick enough to touch.
"And when I die, so will you."
"If you declare war against Dricht and die in battle, then so will I. What difference will it make?"
"Because my odds are better."
The Bone Witch rose, a knife in her hand. She cut her finger, drops of blood welling up.
"Should I find what I seek in their mountains, then you will survive this, Fox. Or did you forget that there was once a spell in Aina's book you forbade me to use?"
She leaned forward, placing her injured finger against her stunned brother's cheek. I watched as the small wounds on his face and arms healed, disappearing as his flesh knitted back together.
"And I will use it, Fox. You will live, regardless of how I die."
23. "You want me to compel them to sleep?"
"It's the fastest way."
After that initial stab of disappointment at Kaelin's nonchalance, like nothing significant had happened between us, I swore not to let it show. People without Heart's Glass are harder to control.
"There are only two of them."
"You know, for someone with decided views about compulsion, you're pretty open when it comes to compelling someone else."
"So I'm no different to you than some palace guards?" Kaelin asked.
I looked at him, but he was already directing his next question at Kalad.
"You sure you can find him?"
The boy adjusted his spectacles.
"I'm positive. If the forger is anywhere in the city, I will locate him."
Shadi spoke up. "Zoya and I are going to stay behind and snoop for a bit."
"Isn't that dangerous?"
Lick asked, concerned. "I doubt we'd look suspicious," the doe-eyed Asha said with a smile. "But I can defend myself if I have to. And I'll have Zoya with me."
"Where's the princess?"
Fox asked. Zoya cleared her throat.
"Since the Saville expedition, she's been under heavier guard. I don't think it's a good idea for her to come with us, especially since Emperor Shifang has been taking up much of her time."
Jealousy slithered through his mind like a serpent. "Fox, stay at the palace," I ordered. "I don't think anyone should be leaving the princess alone with people we don't trust, her fiancé most of all. She told him you were her guard. What guard leaves the palace without his charge?" Fox looked torn. "And besides," I added, "you both have issues that need resolving."
"I'm not going to let you go without me watching your back."
"I'll protect her," Kaelin volunteered quietly. Both men looked at each other. Some unspoken understanding passed between them, and Fox nodded reluctantly.
"Not one hair on her head,"
he warned. "I am perfectly capable of taking care of myself," I complained.
If you say so,
Kaelin replied. Walking into the city was an unexpected, blessed relief. There were still wards there, preventing me from establishing contact with the Ozzy, and when Kaelin tried out a few of his own runes, they were still less than half the strength they should have been, as Zoya had found out the day we first arrived in Santiang. Still, it was better than nothing, and I drew compulsion for a few seconds, just to savor the feeling. Compelling someone without a heart's glass was like walking underwater with the current against you, and the lesser potency of the runes here made it even harder. I hesitated. The half-rune I'd traced lingered in the air, struggling to retain its shape.
Tia,
Lick whispered when it became apparent that the guards accompanying us were still walking of their own volition. I hesitated again.
What's wrong? Kaelin asked quietly.
I don't... My eyes moved from the guards back to him. I don't... Maybe I shouldn't...
The Death Seeker's face cleared. Understanding.
You don't have to if you don't want to. We'll do it some other way.
No.
I forced myself to finish the rune, and the guards froze, their eyes blank.
Are you sure?
His voice was low.
You're right. Not after... It's not fair to ask you to do this.
It boils down to necessity, I guess.
At my silent command, the men began to move. Just to be sure we were unwatched, I explored the surroundings carefully with my mind and found no spies.
And you're right. You're different from those guards.
Kaelin looked at me, moved to speak, then thought better of it. I goaded the soldiers into a nearby inn, made them pay for rooms, and soon they were fast asleep on their beds. Before we returned, I would coax them into waking, with none of them the wiser. Santiang was a city both strange and familiar. I could see the same influences in their architecture that defined the homes and temples of Ankyo, from their arched slopes to their slanting roofs. But while Ankyans had a preference for bungalows and residences no more than two or three landings high, Santiang houses were tower spires that reached as high into the sky as they dared, with different families occupying every floor. The roads were narrower than Odalia's, save for the one leading from the palace out to the city gates. Khalid walked like he knew the way, pausing every now and then to get his bearings.
I can sense Master's workshop,
he explained.
The memories and half-finished heart's glass there burn as bright as a beacon.
The people of Santiang were noisier than their Qian counterparts. Tiny stalls crowded every conceivable corner, selling dried fish and pickled vegetables next to fishing rods and rat repellent. The people spoke with loud, raucous voices whether they were arguing, bargaining, or telling jokes. Children played on the street with paper balls and spinning tops, running to one side and giggling when heavy wagons came creaking past. Tea shop owners and tavern proprietors, in many instances one and the same, wheeled out tables and chairs along sections of road to accommodate more customers. Everyone we passed wore plain robes of muted colors, and it was difficult to distinguish the successful merchant with a flourishing business from the average bricklayer. Khalid led us through busy intersections where long lines of carts and horses were at a standstill, through roads so full of people and merchandise it was a wonder we could pass, and finally to smaller alleys that stank of beer and vomit, as the crowds thinned out and the voices faded, until we were standing before a small shack, not unlike the Heartforger's hut in Keon. Abandoned lots lined either side of it, and an open canal overflowing with rotten fish and garbage appeared to be the reason why.
We traveled half a continent only to reach the same place again,
Lick said, staring. I reached for Fox without thinking, then remembered he wasn't with us. I sought him out with my mind instead, and saw him at the courtyard with the princess. There was a marked improvement to Princess Inessa's swordsmanship, and I wondered how many other sessions they had finished.
We found the forger's hut, I whispered.
Another hut?
That was Lick's reaction, too.
Sounds promising. Be careful.
Out of the corner of Fox's eye, I spotted the Emperor striding toward them,
his face livid.
You better get out of my head, Tia. This isn't going to be pretty.
But...
You've got more important things to do. Scram.
Tia? Lick waved a hand in front of my face. Are you with us? Tia?
I think the Emperor isn't happy about Fox and Inessa spending so much time together.
Why?
That's a conversation for later.
Kaelin took a step toward the shanty.
Despite the city wards, I could feel waves upon waves of powerful energy, almost as strong as a seeking stone's pull, emanating from the small, innocent-looking hovel.
Wait.
Khalid blocked his path.
Something's wrong. Master is not this careless. This is too much concentrated magic. It's overwhelming. Stay back, Khalid.
Kaelin approached the shack slowly, runes already half-formed. He pushed open the rotting wooden door with one foot.
Doesn't look like anyone's been here in a while.
The hair on the back of my neck prickled.
Guys?
The Heartforger isn't here, that's for sure,
Lick said, peeking in.
Guys, I had little knowledge of how sewage systems worked, but surely canals didn't froth and bubble like that. Surely still water didn't swirl that way.
I'll go first, Khalid said. He might have left something behind. Let's not be hasty, Kaelin said. Your master isn't in the habit of laying traps for unwanted visitors by any chance. No, he's not.
Guys! I drew out my sword. The canal behind us went goop, and something rose from that putrid pool. The stink alone was nearly enough to make me faint. But what staggered out was the stuff of nightmares. It was an emaciated figure, a cross between flesh and skeleton. Tattered strips were all that was left of its clothing, and stringy black hair puffed out around its empty skull. It was small, easily a child or a young woman, but there was nothing human about its face. More monstrosities crawled out of the canal, decomposing corpses of either human or animal remains or a revolting hybrid of both. The dogs no longer howled, but their teeth were sharp and yellow in their cadaverous mouths. They sprang forward faster than their human counterparts. I drew compulsion, and was once more confronted by a barrier that was becoming familiar to me.
Someone's controlling them!
One of the skeletal hounds leaped for me. I stepped aside and cleaved its head off as it passed, slamming the hilt of my sword against its legs.
Break as many bones as you can, I ordered. They'll keep moving if you don't.
Kaelin whipped out an arm, sending a group shattering against a nearby wall. Khalid froze as more dogs approached, but Lick planted himself between the forger and the corpses, weaving his own runes. Lightning lanced through a nearby skeleton, blasting it into pieces.
No lightning, Lick!
Kaelin lifted a few of the cadavers with wind and clenched his fist. The undead were immediately crushed into powder.
Sorry,
Lick squeaked, shifting to ice and water, freezing bones and limbs. Despite their strength, it was clear that Lick and Kaelin were having a harder time creating runes because of the unseen wards in place, and they were tiring quicker.
Cover me, Kaelin!
I scried and cast my mind around me, trying to find the mind responsible. Fox's presence spread over my consciousness, calm and comforting as he wordlessly added his will to mine. I punched through the haze of compulsion around the monsters and found my target, and recoiled instinctively in disgust. The thoughts I found were human enough. They belonged to a man in a small, dark room, wizened and bald and dressed in expensive robes. But his thoughts reeked of such depravity and greed and insanity that my reflex was to push him away, desperate for cleaner thoughts to breathe in. He sensed my intrusion and attacked. I saw rivers of blood, of people torn to bits by wild animals as he basked in their blood, of him ripping through flesh with his own bare hands. I fought not to retch. I would rather wade into the sewage canal than into the depths of that grotesque mind. But Fox had stronger willpower, and he took over, pushing past the horrifying images and burrowing deeper into the man's mind. While the man gloated over my horror,
He had left me an opening to sever his link with the corpses. The backlash was terrifying. I could not feel the pain that lanced through the man when his bond was broken, but I could sense its intensity. Screaming, the man reeled back, and our connection was gone. Lick and Kaelin stood bewildered, while discarded bone and decaying carcasses surrounded them. Kaelin was quick to catch me as I staggered. "There was a man," I gasped out. Kaelin's arms felt good around me, and my shivering abated. His mind was repulsive. I think it's the same person controlling the Sovel.
Is he still here?
No, I don't think so. Fox hurt him.
The poor people.
Lick mourned, crouching down beside one of the remains. Bones and bits of hair were all that was left of it, along with scraps of bright red clothing.
God, are you okay?
The forger was breathing hard, but not from fright. His eyes were a bright gray behind his glasses, and he was staring at Lick like he was seeing the other boy for the first time.
That was amazing!
Khaled clasped his hands around the boy's.
I've never seen anyone spin runes like that before. It's like a performance at the Darashi Oyun.
What did he look like to you?
Kaelin asked as Lick quickly went from worried to mortified. Bald, but with a beard past his waist. It took Fox and me to get past his defenses. I certainly couldn't do it on my own.
Sounds like a siege. So he really isn't at the heights of mountains?
Khaled asked.
Never underestimate a faceless. Usijj is the oldest of the three, and the most degenerate.
But why plant a trap here?
Khaled dropped Lick's hands.
Wait!
Lick cried, but the forger had already entered the shack. With an uncharacteristic curse, Lick tore in after him.
Are they all gone?
Fox asked. Yeah, thank you. I owe you one.
Glad to be of use while I'm stuck in the palace.
Has the Emperor killed you yet?
She was amazing, Tia.
Fox's tone was admiring, and blips of memories popped into my head. Inessa with her hands on her hips, confronting the Denorian Emperor with, I shall train with my personal guard whenever I wish. And, I am your fiancé and not your chattel. And also, you cannot select me for my independence only to turn around and complain that I am being too independent. The Emperor was not a skilled debater, unused to anyone disagreeing with him to his face. Shafang could only shake his head and stomp petulantly away. Good for her. I was worried.
So was I when I saw what crawled out of those sewers. Why is Kaelin?
Tell me the rest later. I pushed his thoughts out. I was in a good place, and I was not going to give him time to ruin it. Thank you, I mumbled into Kaelin's chest. Not quite ready to move away.
That was a pretty good swing. Guess you're not as bad at sword fighting as I thought.
I rolled my eyes. Yeah, I'm so terrible at this. Two soldiers at a time is my limit.
They said you were too small to be a bone witch. Too delicate looking to be a fighter. The Odalians and Keons weren't of the same caliber as their Denorian women.
His grip on me tightened.
I wanted to confront them. I wanted to tell them they were idiots who didn't understand they were watching the strongest girl I'd ever known. A girl who had faced off against demons and creatures beyond their imagining and won. That they didn't deserve to be in the same room with her. Much less in the same fight. But you winning was better than anything I could have said. Better than anything they would have believed. I laughed because there was nothing else I could say that was better than what you had just proven.
I listened to Kaelin in stunned silence, thrilled by his words and the rasp of his voice. The voice in my head that had started as a dull murmur since leaving Odalia was shouting now, that damn little upstart no longer refusing to be ignored. You like him, it taunted. You're in love with him, have been since Stripnik. That's why you couldn't leave him behind, you fool. My own thoughts rose louder, terrified and elated, but still partly, desperately in denial, going, "Oh no, oh no, oh no!"
"Tia! Kaelin!"
Lick yelled from inside the small hut.
"You've got to see this!"
"Let's go,"
Kaelin said quietly, and I shoved all those confused, jumbled thoughts out of my head, falling back on the meditation techniques I was taught to try to tame the raging of my heart's glass. Later, the mantra throbbed in my head. Later. Deal with it later. The room was similar to the one in Kion, with the same disorganized mess of bottles, papers, and potions. It had the same shelves, the same kind of stones piled over each other as paperweights. Khalid was already crouched along one wall, fishing out several sheaves of letters and notes from a small brick-shaped hole, while Kaelin glared at a nearby cabinet.
"I found it,"
Khalid said triumphantly, waving the papers in the air.
"He wrote me a note."
"How did you know it was there?" Lick asked.
"I know of all the Hardforge's hiding places."
"What does it say?"
"I haven't opened it yet. There's a lot of his more recent work here, including how to completely rewire Heart's Glass to actually improve people's personalities."
"Khalid!"
Kaelin barked.
"What does the letter say?"
The forger hurriedly unfolded the paper.
"To my foolish apprentice. If you are reading this, then you have disobeyed my orders to remain in Kion and attend to business there. You are a complete and utter disgrace to our profession, and sometimes I wish I'd never taken you on as my apprentice."
Lick blinked. "That's rather harsh."
"Don't worry about it. That's just the way he talks when he's irritated."
Khalid paused.
"At least, I hope he doesn't mean it. He's always had a poor way with words."
"Khalid!"
Kaelin roared.
"But I suppose that's beside the point now."
He continued reading.
"We have far greater problems on our hands, my boy. I have had my suspicions for close to a year now, and it irks me to know how often I am right, though I would wish otherwise. As you know, I have been investigating the sleeping sicknesses, convinced that this was no natural disorder. Princess Yancheo's case was particularly curious, as the sickness requires the presence of a heart's glass when she should have had none. I had also received an unsigned message from Dinoris, warning me of magic being carried out in the palace, so I endeavored to see for myself. It was also a chance to investigate reports of the Duke of Holzrath having visited Dinoris."
"So he suspected it too," Lick murmured.
"It was astonishing to discover that Holzrath had been at the Dinorian ball in the princess's honor on the very same night I visited him in his cell, for he had been sickly as of late. Either the Duke has a doppelganger, or he possesses skills not even I am aware of, which is highly unlikely given my abilities."
"Modest, too," Kaelin murmured.
"The danger is closer than I could have ever imagined. Usijj has infiltrated Dinoris, Khalid. The Iron Fortress in Haitza was a bluff, a means to convince the Emperor that his enemy remains isolated in the mountains. The Faceless has entered Emperor Shafang's palace, just as Aena has infiltrated the Odalian court. My antidote replicates the Irvin of the sleeping nobles, to restore their missing souls, so to speak. With his father's permission, I tested it on Baron Syran, with promising results. The young man is awake and without any ill effects, and the whole of Astera still has no inkling of their kinsman's recovery, as King Rundorvik and Counselor Ludwig have been sworn to secrecy. Despite all my efforts, however, I believe the Faceless has learned of my cure. There are agents after me, and I believe they are under the command of a man named Tan Sung. I cannot remain here for much longer. I hope to return to the Dinorian Palace and perform the same cure on Princess Yancheo. If you find this, or worse, if you find this letter after receiving word of my death in Dinoris, you must look for my friend, a man who has the least reason to cause Princess Yancheo harm. Find Bao Yi. Tell him old Neryl sends his regards and show him this letter. I have told him nothing about the princess's sleeping sickness, or of its magical symptoms, to spare him from further worry. But he and I have known each other for a long time, and he will give you sanctuary."
"She says you are a bard," Princess Inessa said softly. "I wish to one day tell the world her story, Your Highness.
We stood by the entrance of the palace. The Bone Witch had not accompanied her brother nor the princess, much to the latter's disappointment. Lord Fox said nothing, remaining solemn and quiet. Lord Kaelin was already arranging horses for them.
I would very much like to hear her story. I know so little of her, much less than I thought I did. She saved my life many times. I would do everything in my power to save hers if I could.
She looked up at the Deva standing before her. They gazed curiously back, but made no approach.
But she is right. Her people will kill her, even without a trial. The Tia I knew would never have thought to invade a kingdom with the very Deva she had sworn to put down.
It sounded like a question. I am their chronicler, not their confidant.
She plays a lone hand. She no longer trusts us. I don't even know if she trusts Fox anymore.
She looked back at the palace.
But Fox trusts her now. I know, even without his saying so. Kaelin is with her, and so is Kalad. If there is a voice of reason among us, it is Kalad, despite all he's been through himself. He has every reason to hate Tia, but he does not. I can always trust Kalad.
Her voice broke, and her tears fell.
I have to. Otherwise, nothing makes sense anymore. It was good to see him. It was good to see Kaelin.
Let's go, Inessa, Lord Fox said, already astride his horse. The princess turned.
We gave in so easily, we could still convince her to come back with us.
When she reestablished our bond, I knew we could not convince her. There are blighted folk in Denoris, Inessa. We must return to see if any are hiding among our own army before it's too late. Ignoring her gasp, he looked at me. I don't know what Tia plans. There is still much she refuses to share. I do not know if we can withdraw our forces or convince the Empress, but I will not lose my sister again, no matter what she says. For an instant, the grim lines around his mouth faded, and Lord Fox's eyes lightened to a gray mist instead of starless midnight. He nodded at the Death Seeker. It's good to see you again, Kaelin. Protect her for me.
I always have.
Write her a good story, Bard. They say the best tales spare no mercy and spare no lies. He paused. But spare her anyway, he added quietly, and nudged his horse onto the road that would lead them out of Santiang. A kind man, I thought, as I watched the two ride away. Too kind. But of all I have seen of war, kindness makes the best of commanders and the finest of soldiers. The Bone Witch knelt at the center of the throne room, studying her hands as we entered. Gently, the Death Seeker took her wrists, turning them over so he could see the damage her nails had wrought.
Did I kill her?
The Dark Asha asked him, despair in her voice.
Fox said I did, and he would never lie. Her blood on my hands, and my brother as a witness? What if I took in too much dark rot and killed her in my rage? How could I do that? What if I am as guilty as they say?
The man said nothing.
I killed a king, Kaelin, and then I killed two more of our own. I did not want to kill her, but I did it anyway, and they cannot say it wasn't deliberate. And the other, my own.
She whimpered, hand grasping at her chest, breathing hard.
I can feel the dark in my soul. I thought I could stand it, but now I am afraid of what I can do, of what I might do. I have killed faceless and innocents alike, and whether they were one or the other, I am afraid it will no longer matter to my conscience. I tried. I wanted to show them how my Deva can choose not to kill, that I can choose not to kill. Inessa was right. I'm no longer the Tia they know. But did they ever know who I was to begin with? Did you? Did I?
Lord Kaelin bent down and kissed her forehead.
Promise me, Kaelin, if I succumb to the dark rot before I finish, you must kill me. Quickly and without hesitation.
She found his hands.
I am sorry for bringing you back only to suffer this. I thought I was stronger. I thought that being with you would make me stronger.
The Death Seeker kissed her cheek, her nose, her lips. I promise, and whatever happens, know I will be with you until the very end.
24. To say that Bao Yi was as suspicious of us as we were of him was an understatement, though his suspicions extended to those in Shifang's royal court, particularly toward Tensung. There were guards stationed not only outside his room but also inside it, and the man himself was dressed for battle, with a short sword in one hand and the other twitching toward a broadsword mounted on the wall of his room. Though he and Khalid seemed to have come to a mutual understanding, Bao Yi remained incredulous of our motivations until Khalid handed him the old forger's letter.
"This is his handwriting,"
he said, studying it carefully before opening a drawer and taking out another piece of paper.
"This is the letter Nerol sent me a few months ago, noting his intentions of visiting Yan Cheo. But he never arrived, and I assumed he had changed his mind. When you told me that you were searching for him, I had no idea he was in trouble."
Bao Yi sounded almost accusatory.
"How do you know the old forger exactly?"
Zoya asked him.
"He is an old friend of my father's since childhood, before Anasha discovered his skills in magic. The Emperor tolerates him only because he returns to heal our sick. But I have known him since I was a little boy."
"Nerol is Denorian?" I knew the forger was not Odalian or Keon, but little else.
"Nerol isn't a Denorian name, and he doesn't look Denorian."
Bao Yi laughed.
"He looked Denorian enough when he was younger, though I believe he has Keon ancestors on his mother's side. Old age makes it harder to ascertain one's nationality, I've found, and he felt it necessary to adopt a different moniker for his new life. He was no longer a citizen of Denoris, but rather a citizen of the people. But Nerol and my father remained close."
He waved at his guards and issued a few clipped orders. The room was empty of soldiers within seconds. His clerk glanced at us and asked Bao Yi something in Denorian. When he replied in the affirmative, the nervous man gathered his papers and dashed out, looking relieved.
"You are not charlatans?"
Bao Yi asked.
"This is not an intricate plot to bewitch my emperor, and the woman you call Princess Anessa is truly who you say she is? And Nerol is truly in danger?
And you're not a complete jerk who makes it a point to insult and demean foreign visitors when they visit your city?"
I demanded. Lick gulped. Khalid fidgeted with a few of the small gemstones that decorated Bao Yi's mantelpiece, but Kaelin grinned.
Lord Khalid, please be careful with those. They are precious jade stones dating back to the Harshien dynasty. But I was very much a jerk, wasn't I?"
Bao Yi sounded almost embarrassed.
"I thought you were clever crooks who wanted to make a fool of my liege. I even wondered if the sovel was a cunning illusion concocted by your spellbinding skills. We heard that the Keon princess had been engaged to King Telamane's son, and thought it was impossible that Odalia would break their engagement so easily. It did not seem likely the princess would come and offer herself to Shifang." "Princess Anessa has always been an impulsive girl, my lord," Fox growled. "I haven't seen Nerol in over a year, but I shall order the guards to conduct a search in the city."
"We have reason to believe that Usijj has spies in Emperor Shifang's court, my lord," Shadi cautioned him. "I would advise you to select only the men you trust for such an expedition."
"Usijj?"
The man scowled.
"We have been hammering at the Haitsa Iron Fortress for close to a decade now, and he has shown no signs of abandoning the place. Do you mean to tell me that he has been here in Santiang all this time?"
"He is not one to be taken lightly, my lord."
"I do not know what he plans. Princess Anessa's wedding to the Emperor takes place on the morrow. Would he do anything to disrupt it?"
"There are many reasons to oppose that wedding, my lord," Fox said quietly.
"How goes the search for Xiao Yun?" Shadi wanted to know. Bao Yi sighed.
"There is no trace of him. I do not know if he is in league with Usijj, but given everything that has happened, I would no longer be surprised if he is.
Perhaps his interest in Princess Yancheo was all a deception to gain access to her. He shouldn't have been difficult to find.